right, God.
Now,
this is going to be a fun
now
day.
Now we can start. Now I'm ready. Oh, look at that. Look at that. I say it and it comes out the microphone. How about that? Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl.
And I am Molly Wood.
And you are listening, I know you can't believe it, to Make Me Smart, the podcast where we talk about things economic, technological, and cultural. We couldn't do it without you because none of us, as we like to say around here, is as smart as all of us.
That's right. And you should know this is it. Just prepare yourselves for the end of the year. It is the last all-new Make Me Smart episode of 2018.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Pretty soon we're going away for our various breaks and relaxations, just like the rest of you, I hope.
But there will still be stuff in the feed because you can't let the feed lay fallow. Oh, man.
Exactly.
How about that phrase? That was a good phrase.
Look at you.
Can't
wow.
Can't let the feed lay fallow. Oh, snap.
That was very farmy of you.
Stone cold sober here, peeps. I'm just saying. Well, because it's 10:15 in the morning. But anyway.
Oh, I hope he's going to drunk up a little bit. I hope he's just going to, like, you know. He's going to knock back a shot, and we're going to dust off our crystal balls. This should not come as a surprise to you either, speaking of crystal balls, but it's our second annual predictions episode. Our second annual.
Only one ball. There's only one crystal ball.
There's only one. There's just the one.
There's only one crystal ball.
They had to FedEx it to me after he dusted it off.
Because I'm 12. But anyway, so look. So last year what we did is we asked people who'd been on the show to make some predictions for 2018, and we did as well. So This being the end of 2018, we're going to look back and see how we did. We're going to revisit some of those predictions, and then we're going to talk about 2019.
And just like last year, I'm going to have to mute my microphone and just like have a giggle fit. We, just like last year, had our favorite guests do all the work for us.
Yes,
we asked a few of them.
Which is the best way to do this show.
To look ahead, just in case we couldn't think of anything. And then we will also hear some excellent predictions from you.
Yes. So we are going to start with a check on a prediction from last year. And on one of the big themes, actually, of 2018 was about digital platform regulation, which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Back in August, Kai interviewed law professor Kate Klonick. I was out of town. It happens. She specializes in free speech and internet issues. So for 2019, we asked her where this conversation about platforms and regulation might be headed.
I feel like there's a push for regulation. And one of the ways that it seems like regulation could play a role is to treat them through an antitrust legal lens. Ultimately, where a lot of the antitrust conversation is landing is in the realm of kind of allowing the functionality of some of these platforms to become open source. So basically forcing them to break off a piece of the platform to open developers. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It'll be interesting to see if the U.S. is capable of regulating around that to make that happen. It'll be interesting to see how private governance plays a role in making that happen to try to anticipate avoiding regulation explicitly. And so I think that that's something to look for.
You shall seek, but you shall not find, because I maintain that these platforms are incapable of self-regulation. See also Facebook. Just saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, they unquestionably are. So, this is what Tim Wu said also, right? Which is the only way to come at them at this point, in the short term at least, is from the antitrust perspective.
You betcha.
I'm the one who's weirdly obsessed with those FTC hearings that they held earlier this year.
You have got to get out more.
I really do. Yes. Uh-huh. No, that's everybody agrees. I need to, get out of the yoga pants and leave that.
Anywho.
Actually, interestingly, in last year's show, speaking of the FTC, Federal Trade Commissioner Terrell McSweeney predicted that this year, in 2018, we would see people demand more digital rights and control over their data.
Yeah.
Which, you could argue some of that happened, right? There was that Pew
People are totally demanding it. The question is, how and under what framework will they get it?
Yes. Right. And how much are they willing to do to get it?
Exactly.
I think so. Yeah. But also, not for nothing, worth noting, Terrell, who led this FTC complaint against Facebook, has since left the agency and become a partner in a DC law firm that is focused on antitrust.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure being in the being in the minority on a 3-2 regulatory body is probably not a whole lot of fun, right?
Well, no.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah.
All right. Another prediction from one of our experts, which I'm just going to warn you now, is a cannonball to the deepest depths of the dark place. So let's just be clear on that. Is the sting?
There it
coming?
Is.
Yeah.
There it is. Must be really dark. Oh, look at it.
It's like a pre-sting. Tech sociologist Zeynep Tufekci predicted that in 2018, we would see an ethnic cleansing campaign fueled by social media. And in fact, she mentioned Myanmar. And sadly, we did see some version of that violence against the Rohingya population there that was, by all accounts, fueled heavily by Facebook. And then this summer, a UN report said that Facebook activity has, quote, transformed into real-world discrimination and violence, which warrants further examination.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, what's interesting is the speed with which it has gone from, ooh, dabbling in political affairs to, you know, discrimination, violence, and horrible stuff. Like actual physical stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And how, I mean, Zeynep lives in the future. She clearly called that perfectly. But how specifically it has happened. In fact, now just, I was going to say that just as we're recording this, today, Tuesday the 18th, the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, has called for a week-long boycott of Facebook and Instagram starting today. There are multiple civil rights groups now in America who've written an open letter saying that Facebook's leadership needs to change. Like, it is a rising tide. I mean, Zeynep is down to the wire of 2018, but it's happening.
Do you think, actually, that Facebook, I'm a little off topic here, but do you think it's going to go anywhere, the boycott thing?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, anecdotally, actually not even anecdotally, there is now research, like Brian Weiser of Pivotal Research gave some data to, Vox, I was reading it earlier this morning, but said that Facebook's overall share of engagement, and that includes WhatsApp and Instagram, this is surprising, is down to like 14% of, you know, all U.S. time spent, and it used to be 18. Like by every actual measure, engagement on the platform is decreasing, and they're starting to try to think of new revenue streams. There was some reporting saying like they're going to try to maybe do a paid bundle of streaming stuff. Like you could subscribe to HBO Go and Facebook Watch and a whole bunch of other things through Facebook because maybe the advertising stuff isn't working out so well. So like I've been saying all year, like at some point a drip of negativity becomes a flood, and we might be close to that.
All right. Elsewhere in big tech land, we're going to get to Neil Irwin of the New York Times. We talked to him this summer about what he called the Amazon effect and whether that company is so big that its pricing policies affect the entire economy. He was actually a great interview because he's super smart. Here's his 2019 prediction, and it's also along the regulatory lines. Here you go.
First of all, Democrats are taking over the House of Representatives. So I think we're going to see some new skepticism out of congressional committees, new investigations into corporate power in the economy, into antitrust law. We might even see some second guessing of big mergers that have already gone through, like the CBS Aetna merger and the AT&T Time Warner merger. I think you have a bunch of committee chairmen who really are skeptical of corporate power and want to raise attention and raise questions about how it's being used. I think that's also going to be a fault line in the 2020 presidential election, as we see Democrats especially fight it out over who's going to be the nominee, which will really get going in earnest this year. That could also have some real implications for the future of the tech industry. I think one thing we've seen in the past is when a company is really distracted by big PR challenges, by big legal challenges, it becomes less innovative and less willing to take risks. We saw that with Microsoft in the late 1990s and early 2000s when it had antitrust problems. I think we could very easily see the same out of Facebook, Google, and the other tech platforms this year.
Could totally be that they're really going to get distracted, right? Yeah, the last point.
And that if they do, maybe it would allow some competition to arise, which is what happened to Microsoft.
Yeah, I guess, except, and I don't know, I don't have my facts straight on this one, but is Facebook must be proportionally bigger now than Microsoft was back then. Although in terms of penetration of the home computer market back then, they were pretty much the whole gig, right?
Microsoft was over 90% of market share. Yeah.
So maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know. We'll see.
Don't know, but I do think that last point is fascinating, if only because of the potential for competition. Yep. I'm making a whole wide-eyed, interested face right now. More on that in 2019. Our next predictor and soothsayer is a new voice for us. Adi Ignatius is editor-in-chief of the Harvard Business Review, and he has some thoughts on big picture business trends. He's a business Betty, if you will, in the new year. Here you go.
Business Betty.
Looking to 2019, I think we'll continue to see a steady rise in corporate activism, partly because they think it's the right thing to do, partly to placate employees and consumers who expect them to do so. But most interestingly, it's also because many are actually thinking about the shape of the future economy and are making bets now as to how it will change. There are a number of energy companies, for example, that realize that their future cannot possibly be based on fossil fuels. And so they're going through the transition now, before it's too late. And forgetting about where one might stand on the issue of climate change, the shifting economics of the future will be a strong catalyst for further change.
So, yes, but I think what's going on here, and he talks about, you know, energy companies realizing futures can't possibly be based on fossil fuels. Yes, that's totally true, mm-hmm. except they're nibbling around the margins of doing anything about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. You could argue that they're still making a hard last stand.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. on those, yeah, on the
I
money
I think that's my point.
I think
I agree with that.
Although I agree. I think that I still think that there is going to be a rise in corporate activism, even if it's not across the board. And I think you may see it from within, with the employees pushing in that direction, because you've got all these millennials coming into companies, like tech workers now are basically driving the rebellion from within Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that is going to be interesting to watch. Like, it might just come down to hiring.
I'm not as confident, but all right. Okay.
Let's roll with it. I'm fine with that.
All right.
Switching gears to Me Too. It's been a little over a year since a series of high-profile investigations and legal action obviously kicked the Me Too movement into high gear. If you asked me at this time last year if I thought that Les Moonves would be fired for cause, like out of CBS at all, let alone out with no severance package, I would have said you had lost your damn mind. And yet here we are.
Yeah, totally. So what we did was, first episode of this year, we talked to Ai-Jen Poo. She is the director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. She's active in Me Too. She worked with Time's Up to go beyond Hollywood and make sure that the movement gets more vulnerable and lower income women paid attention to, right? Because they have always less of a voice and are less heard, even though harassment in the workplace probably happens to them more. Anyway, Ai-Jen Poo and where that movement, Time's Up and Me Too and all of that, is going in the next year. Here we go.
I predict that we're going to start to see policy initiatives at all of those levels of government that will change the rules and support survivors in a new way. It's inspired us to dream bigger and bolder. So in 2019, one big dream of ours will be realized. Finally, we will introduce a National Domestic Workers Bill of Rights led by Senator Kamala Harris and Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal to bring this incredibly important work and workforce into the 21st century.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a super important element of this, by the way, that Me Too has to trickle down, if you will. Like, it can't just be about executive suites, but that it has to, you know, be a pretty big cultural shift, which I think we're starting to see. Me Too, of course, hit the comedy world, Louis C.K. being one of the highest profile cases and probably the most heavily resisted comeback of the year so far. So we asked Adam Conover, who was a guest on our show last spring and is host and creator of the TV show Adam Ruins Everything and a comedian, not for nothing, where the movement is headed in his world.
I think we are definitely living in a post-Me Too world in comedy and in the entertainment industry. I think that the younger generations of show creators, writers, producers, and I count myself as being in that younger generation, have no tolerance for sexual harassment or sexual assault in any form, and certainly is not acceptable on any show on which I work or on any show that anyone I know works on.
I actually think it's going to take not Adam's generation, but one more. For it to become inculcated in men of positions of power that kind of behavior is not cool.
I 100% agree. Yeah. And then I think it's going to be, as we've seen, a really weird time for comedy in the short term. As everybody like tries to figure out the new rules about what's funny and what's not funny. And and it's, look, I don't, you know.
All right. So
it's going to be an awkward transition.
Yeah, like totally puberty. Totally will be. Related, but, you know, let's call it tangential or perhaps parallel, which I understand are completely different things. Don't at me, bro. We had Carla Hayden on, the Librarian of Congress. She came on when she was out here in L.A. this fall. She's the first woman, first African-American to be the Librarian of Congress. And she sent us her 2019 predictions with some historical perspective. Here you go.
In 2019, the voices of women will continue to be heard loud and clear. 2019 is the centennial of the culmination of the suffrage movement. We will celebrate trailblazing women like Susan B. Anthony and Mary Church Terrell. We will hopefully remind a new generation of the struggles from a century ago and inspire new voices.
It's crazy that it's 2019 is a centennial. That had totally gotten away from me.
I know.
Right?
See, that's why Carla Hayden is so yeah. fascinating. And everything about the Library of Congress, like the historical perspective is
yeah.
phenomenal.
History matters.
Phenomenal.
History matters.
That's going to be really interesting. I hope there's just like a nonstop year-long blowout of the centennial yep. of the suffrage movement.
Yep. That'd be cool.
All right. We're going to take a short break.
We are.
And then our predictions. It will not surprise you to know that I put in a really long list.
Did you really?
I put in nothing so far.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Scroll down. You're going to have a heart attack.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Be right back.
Well, and hold on. Wait. I would just like to say mine will be completely in keeping with type. That's all I got. Okay, go ahead. The end of the year is coming up fast, and that means time is running out to make your donation to support Marketplace and Make Me Smart.
We are, as you may have guessed from the title, all about making people smarter about the financial forces that govern our lives through solid reporting, interesting stories, and the kinds of conversations we have on shows like this one.
It's honestly a great opportunity to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across this country, helping people make better decisions and encouraging civil discourse.
Yes, please. Donate by December 31st to become a Marketplace investor. Plus, isn't that a cool name? And your gift will be matched dollar for dollar. I love it. By our friends at Candida. Every gift helps, so thanks for contributing what you can at marketplace.org. We appreciate your support.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Oh, no, that was a shorter thing than usual. You caught me with my pants down, man. I'm like, wait, what? The new guy, Tony, the producer, director, new guy, digital guy turned producer.
I just flashed straight back to high school volleyball when nobody calls the ball.
Oh, my God.
And it drops right between the two of you.
Oh, my God. So we're back. Time for our predictions. Wow. That was pretty funny, man. That was pretty
amazing.
Funny. Okay, so we are going to do some predictions here. Molly's got a zillion, as she said. I've got uno, because I am, come on, say it with me now, one fun guy.
One fun guy.
Look, man, the brand matters. Brand matters. So look, you pick
it.
Two or three. You do your two or three, and then maybe I'll do mine. Should we talk about what we predicted for last year, from last year,
I think
should
we do that? Pretty much have to.
Okay.
I think that's kind of the rule, yeah,
okay.
Like how right or wrong were we?
All right.
All right. So what did you have last year?
I apparently said that the Me Too movement would grow to include claims of racially based harassment and discrimination at work. Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
it's always
that,
funny
like,
to look back.
You know, partially true?
I think so. Okay. I mean, I think we had a lot more awareness of racial tension, period.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
In 2018. And also, you saw kind of these ongoing conversations about Black women in America, particularly like the power and the elections that Black women in particular like pushed over the edge. And so, yes, I think I'm gonna give you that one.
Yep. All right. Fair enough. You?
I said you can always tell what's happening at the exact time you're recording your prediction show. I said I thought a government would launch a cryptocurrency. And I'm just gonna say Venezuela kind of did it.
Well,
I mean,
kinda.
If you're splitting hairs, you could say it was really just an ICO.
Yeah.
Like they did an initial coin offering to raise a lot of money to bail out their own government.
Now you're just showing off.
But it was called a cryptocurrency. It was called the Petro. Everybody tweeted me at the time and they were like, you nailed it. So I'm taking it.
oh, well,
and
if
then,
everybody says so, then it must be true.
At least three people tweeted me in February
right.
when
yeah,
they launched
Twitter
their...
told me I was right. So I was right.
Sounds good to me. I also said that SoftBank would leave Uber at the altar, which I was obviously hilariously wrong about. In fact, they took like a majority stake or something.
Wow.
Yep. Okay. You got one, so we're just going to what, like sandwich it in between?
Yeah, so you do a couple of yours.
Okay, I'm going to give you like three. These are just like bullet point ones.
Yeah, we're looking for next year. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to have a collective realization that data is not as valuable as we thought. We're going to like poke a hole in the AI bubble, you know, and just be like, no, you can't personalize as much as you thought. So maybe you don't need as much. Even Sundar Pichai before Congress, like the last week, the earlier this week.
Yeah, CEO of Google.
We live every day twice last week, CEO of Google, said, we actually don't need that much data to deliver personalized search results. Just saying. Maybe a data minimization effort could occur. I think health tech is going to get really interesting as we see more and more private companies essentially try to fill the gaps that healthcare has opened up. I'm thinking of in one company in particular, this one called Solve, S-O-L-V, full disclosure, I know the woman who's the CEO, but it gives you same day urgent care appointments at doctor's office. Like it just looks for the ones that are open. I mean, I don't know why doctor's offices aren't doing this, but a private company is. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that. And then a lot of my predictions are often very hopeful. So I think that like scooters are going to be shamed out of existence.
Oh, the limes and the birds and the
limes and the birds.
E-scooters?
And the, and that people are just like, these are bad for cities and pedestrians.
Yeah, I think fatalities will mount and people are going to go, this is dumb, man.
Totally.
I mean, you go out to Santa Monica and it's, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's
also
a nightmare.
Get off my lawn.
Also, they're starting to get really self-righteous in the way that like cyclists can be, where they are like totally breaking the rules of the street and then you almost run them over and then they give you the dirty look and you're like, dude, you're going the wrong way on a one way on a freaking scooter with no helmet on. How are you going to get self-righteous? Come on.
Yeah. All right. One more for you.
All right.
And then
one more and then you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think 5G is going to, quote, arrive and be a total letdown because the technology is super nascent and it's all going to be beta tests and just don't buy it yet. Don't buy it.
So didn't AT&T or isn't AT&T launching 5G like in some certain community today as the first little rollout thing?
It's like $70 a month for 15 gigs of data. Right. Like it's the exact opposite of what 5G is supposed to bring you.
Right.
So,
right,
I mean, if you want to be a beta tester, cool, but just know what you're getting into. It's not real yet.
Yep. Yep. Okay, here's mine. And you will be underwhelmed. and it's, I am shock. Spoiler alert. I'm not as thoughtful as Molly about all these things. Here's what I think. And it's a little bit dark placey. I actually don't think anything's going to change in 2019. I don't think anything's going to change politically, right? President's not going to be impeached. Democrats in Congress will not upend any kind of order, although there won't be much sound and fury. Consumers will not be smarter about their data, and companies like Facebook are not going to be any more cognizant of their responsibilities. I think the economy, frankly, is not going to change. I think it's going to keep bumping along the muddy bottom. Yes, the economy is good now, but it's going to slow down. And then I think it's just going to stay slowed down. And I just think everything's going to be the same. I think we're living a little bit of Groundhog Day. Truly, I do. That's what I think. That's what I think. And I honestly, I say that not out of a sense of despair or dark placeness. I just think we're a little stuck in this country.
Yeah. Well, maybe we need like a darker place.
No.
I do think that there is comfort in the status quo. Like when we talked the other day about how America might be fundamentally ungovernable.
Yeah.
Our government also, because of its, you know, complexity and checks and balances and multiple stakeholders, including states, is itself set up to preserve the status quo and that there could be hope in that too. But I will say, I'm not going to tread that far into the political.
Okay.
But I just think everybody is getting a little, I'm watching all these happy liberals talk about how they think it's indictment season and be super stoked because they
idiotic.
Think the hammer is about to fall.
Liberals are
idiotic.
Being idiotic. That's nutty.
It is idiotic.
That is nutty.
It's and also it's hoping nutty. For disaster and that is never.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually a really good point.
Okay. I don't know. I gave you all the good ones. I will say I do think that Apple, I'm just going to go back to tech for a minute, is going to buy something big and crazy with its $273 billion, like maybe Spotify or SpaceX or Tesla. But I also want to note here, because in looking into Apple acquisition targets, I realized that this gets predicted every single year.
So what the hell is Tim Cook going to do with all that money? He's literally got $250 billion sitting in the bank. More.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I mean, I'm now fascinated by this because as far back as like 2014, when someone thought Apple would buy BlackBerry,
yeah, whatever.
People have been talking about what Apple's going to do with its giant hoard of cash. And it's almost like less a prediction and more like a question. What is Apple going to do with this giant hoard of cash? Because they, speaking of stuck in an innovation rut, it's not because of, you know, antitrust or being distracted by regulation. It's like the curse of the iPhone. It's like the innovator's dilemma. Right. That company is absolutely stuck.
Except he still gets people to spend $1,000 for a phone. Phone. $1,000.
So far. But I don't know that, but increasingly people don't believe they're going to spend $1,500 for the next one.
Oh, God, let's go back 18 months and find tape of people saying, I'm never going to spend $1,000 for a phone. That's ridiculous. See also my prediction for this coming year, consumers will remain idiots.
Oh, man.
That's what I just said. And it's already come true. It came true within the same episode.
They cut their supplier outlooks.
Yeah, I know they cut their supplier outlooks. Come on, how long? People have been like banking on Apple's, you know, iPhone instigated demise for frapping ever.
Anyway. I know. And that they would spend their cash on something. I don't know. I'm just super curious to see what's going to happen to them. I also predict that in 2019, Kai and I are going to get to have a good long fight about platform censorship.
Oh,
it's going to be awesome.
It's really interesting, right? Because I truly believe that the only thing that's going to fix what ails those companies, even if they don't recognize it right now, is some kind of external regulation, because they have proved incapable of regulating themselves. And do not go down that First Amendment censorship slippery slope argument. Just don't.
that's the fight I'm talking about.
I know.
2019. We're saving it. We're saving it.
All right, I'll stop.
And we're going to have one whole episode on the
just throwing down
on the First Amendment.
Oh, man.
It's going to be amazing. All right. We are going to get to your predictions in a second. Okay. But we just wanted, throw us your votes now for the throwdown episode.
Yes.
We just wanted to remind you, though.
Please.
That Marketplace's Giving Drive is still going on. Still happening.
It's
your last chance.
It totally is.
Have you watched my YouTube video?
You did a YouTube? Oh, yeah, I did, actually. Yes, I totally did. I totally did. So, look, here's the deal. As little as $5 on a one-time thing makes you a Marketplace investor. We also have, and I tweeted this the other day, I think it's the best thing in public radio swag ever, up to and including the Nina Totten bag from NPR, which is a water bottle that says liquid assets. $5 a month.
Get
you that water bottle. I think that's awesome. Awesome.
I think that's like a limited time promotion to the $5 a month.
Let's hope it hasn't passed. I don't even know.
I don't know. Anyway,
it says the discount and it's close of business Wednesday the 19th, so act fast.
Yeah, exactly. So like do it now. Yeah. If you're listening and the deadline has passed, don't worry. You can still get the bottle and all kinds of other stuff. It just will cost you like a little more. You can get the socks for $5 a month.
We're worth it.
And there's a link, if you don't know what video we're talking about, in our Facebook group to this video that my own child shot and directed because he edited all by himself. Like I had no input, which is why it's so hilarious, because he thinks that he should become a YouTube star via his mother. And we unboxed all the Marketplace swag.
Wow.
And it was the nerdiest thing ever. It was great.
So the URL.
Marketplace.org/donate. They wrote it all in all caps, which I love.
All right. Mail coming up.
Hi, Kai and Molly.
This is Brent in Detroit.
This is Rebecca from Baltimore.
It was great to hear comments on my question about GDPR.
I wanted to put in my vote.
I want to discuss a slightly different but maybe related thing.
Heather Young sent us this prediction.
My 2019 business prediction is that liberals get more friendly with numbers and adopt the ethical capitalism you've been covering recently. My phrase for this has been intergenerational justice, by the way. I've been talking about it in my community for a while now, the notion of investing in thriving communities that we all want to live in without running up the Treasury's credit card for future generations to pay off.
National debt in this economy is $21 trillion. We're on our way in this coming fiscal year. This fiscal year, actually, that we're in, to a $1 trillion deficit. Sorry, I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Oh, I got to say, that story.
That was the dark place thing right there. You should have hit it.
I mean, how many times can it get played?
And now it's too late. You blew it.
I got to say that story on yesterday, Monday, the 17th, Marketplace, about the divided decade story about retirement.
Oh, yeah.
Just the stories about retirement in general have been... Yep. They're absolutely heartbreaking and crushing and completely relevant to, I think, everyone our age with aging parents and also the aging parents themselves. And is going to then be like us or our kids when we run out of money to even have that baseline.
Right.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm going to stop now.
Yep.
because now I'm going to the dark place and I don't like it here.
That's right.
Matthew Hoag.
H-O-G-E. Hoag looks reasonable to me.
Wrote us his prediction on Facebook. He predicts the discussion around privacy and cybersecurity is only going to intensify as 5G networks roll out. Which we'll see.
Yeah.
Because I don't think those networks are going to go very far in 2019. Yeah. But I do think you're true because all of the interconnectedness is only going to increase. And that is going to increasingly freak people out.
Yep. Totally agree. Leah Lewis sent us this voice memo predicting a bleak-ish economic future. Here you go.
I predict a mini recession. I think this will happen because Trump will so isolate the U.S. and alienate our trading partners and allies that no one will do business with us anymore.
Well, so look, somebody's always going to want to do business with us, right? Because we're the biggest and most liquid market on the planet. But let me just point out something, and Leah actually was really right in starting off with this phrase, a mini recession.
Yes.
We all, the recession that most everybody remembers was the Great Recession, which was a dark and cratering recession that cost millions of people their jobs and set this economy back a decade or more. Most recessions are not that. Most recessions are much more shallow. There is some job loss, perhaps. There is an economic slowdown, but it's not like it used to be. So when we talk about recessions, we are not talking the big one. That's all I'm saying.
I think that is such a good point because as
huge.
We're making the turn into clearly having collectively decided that it's happening, it is so awesome that there was an explainer on Marketplace that I think led directly to an explainer on the Time in the New York Times because you know I'm all about taking credit. About what that actually means. And it just is so much more benign than it's going to be made out to be by the sea of red on CNBC. So like deep breaths.
Well, fingers crossed, right? I mean, because you know.
Fingers crossed.
All right, okay.
Depends on how emotional we all get about it, I guess. Yeah.
All right.
Final Make Me Smart question for the year, which is, of course, what is something you thought you knew that you later found out you were wrong about? Joe Gregorio sent us this voice memo with his answer.
I thought everyone else was normal and that I was the only exception. As it turns out, that isn't true. We're all human. There's nothing normal about anyone. Each and every one of us has fears, phobias, insecurities, either present since birth or inflicted on us. This realization has made me much more empathetic and much more patient. Sure, bad things happen, people are rude or grumpy, cut me off on the road, whatever. But each time something like that happens, I just end up thinking, hey, this is their bad day. Maybe I'll give them a little more space, smile a little more often, and maybe help somebody get through a day.
Amen, right?
Aww.
I mean, you know, for as grumpy as I've been today, that's a good one. That's a good one. What? I'm
that
owning my grumpiness.
So much as profoundly nihilistic.
Oh, lovely.
Sorry. Yes. No, my 2019 resolution, which I just failed at, she would never do this, is to ask myself, what would Wonder Woman do?
Really?
In this situation. Yes, because
she would kick some ass and storm across that no man's land behind the shield and the music would play and I would cry and that's what would happen. That actually happened.
But
I cried.
With kindness. Like, I think, despite the ending, the Zach ending.
The ending of that movie was terrible. It was such a good movie till the last 15 minutes. And then you're like, seriously? Are you doing that with this film?
And the whole rest of the movie
is
about
her
just being fundamentally kind.
Yep.
What would Wonder Woman do?
That's my kick butt kind of way.
Goals. That's my goals. And also, you get to kick butt and look awesome. There's no better thing to emulate, in my opinion. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, well, we got off a little track down there.
Send
us your thoughts on the Make Me Smart question. It is, of course, what is something you thought you knew but then found out you were wrong about? Email us your answer to that question at makemesmart@marketplace.org. And really what we want is a voice memo, right? We don't want just email. We want a voice memo so we can put you on the radio or the pod, as it were, and have fun doing it. So there you go.
Yes.
Yes.
And hey.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Because that's it. That's it for 2018 for us. We're taking our short holiday break, although you will see new episodes. You will see new episodes in your feed, and we will be back with new episodes in January. Look ahead, though, to our best of episodes, because honestly, We had a good year on Make Me Smart.
When in January? Are we like January the 2nd or are we back like middle of January? Do we know?
Middle of January because I have
15th,
to go to CES.
15th, says Tony, the producer, director, and digital
guy. January 15th. He is on it. Tony is on it.
Make Me Smart is produced by Shara Mars. Senior producer is Eve Tro. Tony Wagner is the digital producer, also directed today. This week's program was engineered by Ben Holliday. The theme music was composed. Oh, no. I'm running out of music. Composed by Ben Holliday and Daniel Ramirez. It's terrible.
You'd think after low this entire year, we'd be better at this.
We blow it now on the last one? Sorry, you busted the post. The non-existent post.
The executive director of On Demand is the attorney of us and senior vice president and general manager. They don't care. But we love you, Deborah.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.